My training's consisted of 1 mile to my local pub and 8 pints and 1 mile back again. Every day for 3 months.
I think energy comes from energy. And so, I know, if I keep smiling, I can just keep smiling, I think.
Honestly, I can't give away that now. That's like Roglic giving it to Pogacar, you remember that? It's not possible.
Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride With GPS, and Peak Design. Day 7 at TCR number 12, and we are 1 week into this year's race. At the front, Robin Gimperla, cap number 1, continues to lead and is making his way south through the Balkans to Control Point 3 in Sarajevo. After maintaining a significant gap for most of the race, all of a sudden, there is another rider eating up some of that ground. Nicolas Châtelet, cap 126, has forgone some sleep 2 nights in a row to try and reel Robin in. Our team in Control Call 1 are also heading south to try and catch Robin at CP3 later this evening. It's a transition day for them, which means they are unlikely to speak to any other riders. The good news is we have race reporter Sophie and trusty control car 2. Here's Sophie's car mate and race coordinator, Hannah Lobelestier, to give us a morning update, especially on progress in the pairs and flinter categories, which are hotting up nicely.
Control car 2 is spending the morning around Parkour 2A again. We've just seen a few rides around here, and now we're heading up the road a bit on the approach to the parkour, going through some really nice rolling green scenery, tree-lined avenues, little villages. It's really pretty nice, and I think riders seem to be enjoying the change of scenery from the flat roads of Poland. In the flinter race this morning, we had our first arrivals at CP2. Sarah Boslett was the first to arrive at 8:40 this morning, and Camille Albacer was not far behind, arriving not even 20 minutes later. So it's a really tight race between those two, and looks to continue to be an exciting one. But also not far behind is Leah Hamburger. We saw her on Parkour 2A yesterday, clearly very focused on the race and being super efficient, only taking a minute to chat to us before heading on her way. And she looks to have narrowed that gap a bit now, and it's maybe about 3 hours behind them. Also still potentially in contention, not that far behind Leia, are Larissa Unsin and Anna Karlqvist. So while Sarah and Camille look pretty dominant at the moment, there's definitely still a closable gap there. The pairs race is looking equally tight too. We saw the front two pairs yesterday afternoon. Remy Méjean and Marguerite Mulhous were the leading pair. Clearly very focused on the race, focused on moving efficiently and trying to cover as much ground as possible every day, but also still trying to enjoy themselves. Meanwhile, Christian and Dina were probably within about an hour of them, but seemed completely oblivious to the fact they were in a race. And when I suggested that they could be competitive or contend for the pairs win, Dina laughed at me. So I assume they're not looking at the tracker or paying much attention to what's going on in the race, but they're definitely still in contention for it.
Sophie manages to stop and speak to a few riders as they take on Parkour 2A. Joanna Rominska-Pietrzyk, cap 148.
I can use every good excuse to stop now.
Yeah, it's a bit hard.
No, I have some, saddle discomfort.
Yeah.
It's a bit tough on climbs because you move in this specific way on the saddle when you climb. So yeah, it's a bit painful, but it's a good idea to have a few sources of pain because you can shift attention from one source to another. So, if it's not your bum, then it's your feet and etc.
What do you have in front of you?
Well, obviously in front of me, because the reason I signed up for TCR is, as always, the Balkans. So this is, and I'm Polish, so Poland And now Czech Republic and Slovakia. I love Slovakia, I love the Czech Republic, but these are basically things I know very well.
Yeah. Well, next time we will try to put the Balkan sooner for you.
Start in the Balkans. Well, I don't know where, but these Balkans are like, magnets that, keeps pulling me.
Also on his way to the Balkans, Martin Carlson, Cap 91.
This is my first TCR, so I'm learning a lot. Planning every day, more or less, as it comes.
What have you learned?
There are good routes and bad routes, and doing a lot of homework before is probably a good idea. I should have done more. I've been on some interesting, private parkours.
Oh, okay. Gravel one,
yes,
I guess.
Gravel and pavé and, all sorts of surfaces. So, it's been some adventures. But, and it's hard, of course, to change the route when you're on the go like this. I mean, you need to check the forbidden routes and everything. It's kind of tricky.
Yeah, so you prefer to stick to your own routes?
Unless I know for sure that this is a better option. I've done some small changes when I saw that this is clearly a stupid one to take, and then there is a better one. Okay, why not?
And also, we are Sunday morning. Yeah. What would you be doing normally on a Sunday morning?
Oh, I like to sleep in. So, and then I wake up. I'm old school, so I have a newspaper and I do crosswords. I'm like an old man.
So it's it's a different kind of Sunday morning for you.
But you know, there's always room for a bike ride on a Sunday as well. So this is not too far away, maybe.
As more and more riders head south, the freezing temperatures of Norway are starting to feel a very long time ago. Things are starting to get a little bit sweaty. Time for another Sophie Explains.
This rider seems to spend half the race looking for food and the other half looking for water. They are constantly drinking bottle after bottle, but where does all that water actually go? Well, I think it's time for another Sophie Explains. Today, sweat. Now, some of the water they drink actually ends up in the bladder, but a surprisingly large amount ends up somewhere else, on their skin. So why do we sweat in the first place? As your muscles work, they produce a huge amount of heat. In fact, they are not really efficient. Only a small part of the energy they use becomes movement. Most of it becomes heat. Well, maybe for Robin, it's different. If your body couldn't get rid of that heat, your temperature will keep rising, which will quickly become dangerous. So your brain switches on your body's natural cooling system, sweat. As sweat evaporates from your skin, it carries heat away with it, helping keep your body at a safe temperature. But here's the catch. Sweat isn't just water. It also contains electrolytes, mainly sodium, but also a smaller amount of potassium, magnesium, and calcium. On a hot day, a rider might lose around 2 liters of sweat every hour. Over a week ride, like this year now, on the bike, that's a liter of sweat, and therefore a lot of electrolytes too. So why do these electrolytes actually matter? First, they help your nerves send electrical signal. I think that's quite useful. But even more useful, they allow your muscles, including your heart, to contract. So good for riding. And finally, they help your body maintain the right balance of water between your blood and your cells. That's what staying hydrated really means. Hydration isn't just about drinking enough water, it's about maintaining the right balance between water and electrolytes. So if you replace only the water you've lost, but not some of the sodium you've lost through sweat, that balance starts to change. So, how do riders replace everything they lose through sweat? Well, they drink, and they need to replace the sodium they have lost. Most sports nutrition guidelines recommend aiming for around 300 to 600 milligrams of sodium per hour during long rides. If it's very hot, or if you are one of those riders whose jersey ends up covered in white salt stains, you may need even more. Most riders will drink somewhere between half to 1 liter of water per hour, depending on the temperature and how much they are sweating. But this is where ultracycling gets interesting, because you cannot find always electrolytes tablets in the middle of nowhere. So riders improvise. Here is a few tricks. Pickle juice is surprisingly popular and efficient. Salted nuts, tomato juice, crisps, pretzel, olives, and if all of those fails, or if you cannot get your hands on any of those, a bottle of water, a pinch of salt, a little sugar. Simple, cheap, and surprisingly effective. Well, one thing is sure, all that talking made me really thirsty.
While indeed most riders need nutrients to keep their energy levels up, for Katharina Wirth, Cap 99, there is another solution, and it's readily available.
Yeah, how do you find all the energy to be so awake? Because I've seen many cyclists this morning and they didn't look as fresh as you, if I may say so.
I don't know. I think energy comes from energy. And so, I don't know, if I keep smiling, I can just keep smiling, I think.
Yeah.
But today in the morning I was a little tired for a bit, but then I just put some water in my face. It was good again.
Okay, that's
and
a good trick.
I also had some instant coffee powder with me, mm-hmm. like the Nescafe one. Yeah. I just had that in my mouth. It was perfect.
So you mixed the Nescafe with water in your mouth?
No, just like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Sunday morning. What would we be doing if you weren't riding TCR?
Probably riding my bike up a mountain.
So it might be the reason why you're going so strong.
Yeah.
For Dan Sharp, Cap 295, energy is proving a little more difficult to come by.
Do you mind if I try and run next to you?
You can try. Yeah. I'm fucking rapid.
Yes?
No. I'm
you're
fucking
not
knackered.
Are you trying to go as fast as possible on the parkour?
No. I'm trying to stay alive. We're halfway through the race, aren't we?
Yes.
That'll do. I'm still here. My training's consisted of 1 mile to my local pub and 8 pints and 1 mile back again. Every day for 3 months.
Hello, some news from Sophie. The control car number 2 abandoned me here in the village of Zulova. It's a small village, a bit before Parkour 2. So roads are quite flat here, which means it's quite hard for me to get interviewed because riders are going just too fast. So Sam and Hannah went further to get some shots from the riders, and I'm staying here to get interviewed, and I find the best spot because there is an ice cream shop open on Sunday morning. And there is like so many people stopping here, and like not only riders, like local stopping to get an ice cream. There is kids around me. It's really cool. And it's a great place for me because like riders are stopping. They are getting at least 1, 2, maybe 3 ice creams sometimes. I won't tell who, obviously. But yeah, I'm definitely moving to Czechy because ice cream for breakfast on Sunday morning is something I like. And also I ask every riders what they would be doing if they were not riding TCR, because we have Sunday morning. So I was hoping for them to tell me like, yeah, I would go on a branch or something like that. Actually, no, they will be riding their bikes. So it might be the reason why they are doing so well, because they are not branching on Sunday morning, but riding their bikes as well. I just hope that their Sunday ride is a bit shorter than the one they are having today.
Gerald Huber, Cap 310. Stops for an ice cream and speaks to Sophie. The heat is affecting some of his bodily functions, and he's preparing his sandals for the parkour ahead.
Have you been drinking a lot?
Yeah, and I drink and I don't pee, so... I heard the podcast yesterday about the Parkour 1A, about the cobblestones. Oh, I think I will walk. I have sandals to walk. This bike is impossible to ride on cobbles.
Why is that?
It's a time trial bike. I think I'm the only one with a time trial bike.
What's the problem? Is it like...
It's very stiff. Incredibly stiff. It should have been very efficient in Poland, but I was so slow.
Oh, well, why were you feeling slow? Yeah. You know, there is a difference between being slow and feeling slow.
My strategy is just I never stop. Because as long as I move, if it's only 20k, I'm moving forward. So if I sit, I don't move. I don't move forward. So I keep... pedaling slowly, steadily.
one ice cream at a time.
Ice cream, Coke, peanuts, chocolate, sweets.
Sophie stops and chats to Emiliano Baraval, Cap 359. He's been feeling the heat too, and relying on calls from home to keep him going.
When you don't have power, you feel bad, and you start to have like a blah. No, everything is shit. It's crazy, yeah.
You're asking why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
You start to asking why, and then maybe call your wife and the kids, and you cry. Say, no, I go home. Then sleep a little bit, stand up. Okay, come on.
So what did your wife said when you called her?
I have a bad experience my TCR because I scratched at 400 kilometers before to arrive 5 years ago. So I know what happened, you know. In the end, I said to my wife, if you call me, only good vibes. If you don't have good vibes, don't call me, please. And the kids, better that they don't call me. It's too much.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
Like 14 and 17.
Okay. So who is taking care of them while their dad is riding?
Yeah. So, no, sometimes it's energy to speak with the kids, but if only they said, Papi, I miss you a lot, bam. Super crazy. But good, yes.
Of course, TCR takes the riders through beautiful landscapes and up and down some memorable climbs. But in a 5,000-kilometer race, things can't always be pretty. Every day and every type of terrain brings its own challenges. Lucas Muller, Cap 366.
I really realized I can't ride in the flats. I'm so happy that when it's just 1 day, 2 day, weekend ride, 3-4 days. But now I really had struggles in Poland. It was like not only motivational, but like it's so boring and flat, and you could do kilometers, but I couldn't because it was mentally.
It's funny because for the body it's easier, kind of,
yeah.
But the mental is not.
Yeah.
Following, keeping up.
I like more the suffering in the mountains. So you have a nice view, it's harder, but you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
After one whole week, Lost Dot's very own lycra clad, mustachioed man on the road has finally bumped into Control Car 2. Andrew Phillips, Cap 00A, is also ready to get into the mountains. And about time too. Here's Sophie to provide some gentle ribbing.
We had to wait for quite a long time for you. Don't you have no sense of emergency? Too soon?
Calm, remain calm, Andrew. It's nice to see you as well, Sophie.
How is it going?
Yeah, it's going all right.
Yeah.
The trouble with the flat lands is that mentally, beforehand, I was going to be doing it with John. And we were going to be riding it fast and in each other's draft. And as it is, it's been windy and tough. Not too bad, but, you know, just like blustery cross headwinds. Whenever you think you're going to turn and get a tailwind, the wind changes and it's still a headwind.
So you've got to make it closer to the mountain, I guess, now?
Yeah, I'm happy to start getting into the mountains. I'm going to go over Prajed tonight. Hopefully I've timed it quite well so that it's going to start cooling down for the climb, because I think it'll take me a couple of hours to get there from here. Mm.
So that was on purpose that you were slow?
Something like that, yeah. Good planning.
Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, and Camille Albisser, Cap 270, continue to battle it out up front in the Flinter category. They are followed by a string of riders who are putting together their own composed, impressive races. And of course, they are doing it while having to think about, manage, and prepare for things that the men, frankly, do not. Sarah Cinquini, Cap 290.
Today, for me, is the terrible day.
Do you remember being like that last year? Or?
No, never. Never. And also, I would like to come back to my home. I don't know why. I think, to come back during the I race. And this time, yes, I don't know why.
Do you think it's because you were already there last year, so you kind of know
I don't know also if it depends about my period, because I'm stopped to have my, I don't know in English, I'm going menopausa.
Mm-hmm. Menopause, yeah.
Yeah, and so maybe I think it's also for that up and down, like when you was young, you know?
Yeah, as if you...
I think it's that this year.
The hormones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something we have to take into account.
It's very different from my man. And so this year, that is the, for me, hard. Not for the body. I feel good, I eat, but for the mind, a lot. A lot.
Elise Sonnier, Cap 303.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I feel like every day is a new world, so I'm having fun. And tomorrow is my birthday. So my plan was to be on CP2 for my birthday, and I think I can make it. So
yeah.
I have like a real person wishing me happy birthday. But yeah, I'm taking it day to day, like everyone, I guess, now.
Have you got your period already?
No.
It's going to sound weird, but in every race.
Yeah, in every race it starts like earlier than normal, but no, not yet.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I just add them just before the race starts, or maybe. And I don't know, I'm not pushing like the other races I did. I'm just like, you know, cruising a bit, so maybe... What else? I don't know.
Why is that? Why do you cruise TCR and not all the races you've done before?
I don't know. I didn't feel like pushing myself too much. I felt like it was my holidays a bit, and I didn't want to completely destroy me and not enjoying it. And I am enjoying it. So I'll stick with that plan.
As Sophie and the team in Control Car 2 pack up and head to the night's accommodation, race reporter Jake Thorpe and race director David Eyre in Control Car 1 complete a long day behind the wheel and finally make it to Control Point 3 in Sarajevo, Bosnia and Herzegovina. The Balkans is prime TCR territory, and Robin Gimperla, Cap number 1, is no stranger to riding the stunning landscapes and unique challenges these countries bring. But after days of racing out on his own, it looks like finally he might have company. Nicolas Châtelet, Cap 126, has barnstormed his way to the Balkans and roughly halved the gap between the two of them. Nevertheless, Robin is our first rider to roll into CP3 at TCR number 12.
I don't know if he's doing good or bad, but I think going through the night with just sleeping shortly twice is too early and a bit maybe... Not saying it, but he knows. I mean, he knows what he's doing. I think he knows what he's doing. But it kind of scares me because it shows he doesn't bother doing that kind of stuff, which I do. I won't be going through the night. I will reduce a bit my sleep now and be quicker. I was slow with that because I was too relaxed. I'm not tired, but I'm not in that racing mood. I need to find the second gear now and get going. Feel like the second part of the day has been a bit quicker today. I want to get him back to 6 hours and then I'm fine.
Yeah. But you said before you wanted that sort of like someone breathing down your neck just to help you find that racing edge again.
I have.
Now you've got it.
Definitely have it now.
Your wish is Nicholas's command.
Yeah, and honestly, I can't give away that now. That's like Roglic giving it to Pogacar. You remember that? It's not possible.
I mean, just crossing these borders and just kind of these physical geographical landmarks, did they help you feel that progress? Eating
that's pretty cool, miles? Actually. Also, sometimes I should not forget that's a cool race. So it's not only about being at the front and winning. Of course, it's the game we play. And I like that game at the moment. But yeah. Also relax a little. It's okay. And still, I mean, yeah, he's taken up ground, but it must have cost him quite something, I'm pretty sure.
As Robin rides away from Control Point 3, the team get themselves ready for Nicholas and eventually the other leading riders to pass through over the coming hours. Here's David to set the scene and talk about some of the terrain that all riders can expect as they too make tracks to Sarajevo.
We stand outside CP3, Trebevicki Rai, on Mount Trebević, overlooking Sarajevo. So we have just driven for a shade over 8 hours from southern Slovakia earlier today, where we woke up, down through Hungary, down through Croatia, and then all the way down through Bosnia. It was touch and go whether we were going to get here in time before the leading rider, Robin Gempola, departed. But thankfully, we screeched into the car park here under the crunch of gravel under the tyres and found him still stuffing his face as he slowly started to pack up his bike. So managed to grab a few words with him, say hello, actually stamped this Breve card as well. So a rare treat for Robin these days on races.
So given that we've also just previewed some of the ground that riders are going to be covering between CP2 and CP3, what have they got in store for them?
It is a huge climb out of Sarajevo, much more imposing than you would imagine. The gradient is really steep all the way up. The road winds its way up the hillside, punishing you on the way up with poor asphalt as well. That we thought we were going to lose the car into what felt like a sinkhole at one point as it dropped down about a foot and then climbed back up out of it again. And then when you get to the top, after you've struggled up there, you are treated to this huge panoramic view out over Sarajevo as the tree line breaks and you see the sky and you can see the whole city below you. And it feels like a really fair reward for all of the effort it's going to take to get up here. And when you finally reach the CP, you'll find this beautiful wooden log cabin sitting up here at the top with a few little tables and chairs dotted around, some hearty looking food and an ice cold beer if you're that way inclined. So it's a fairly bucolic scene with lots of families and kids seemingly enjoying the hiking and the play area here. And hopefully we're going to tuck into a meal ourselves now, and it feels like we've earned it.
Time for the recap of the day. So tonight in winter car number 2, we stayed around the parkour 2 again to cover the mid-pack of the race. And well, it's been 1 week now our riders are out there. A very famous guy once worked hard for 6 days, but at least he got 1 day off. Our riders, not so much. And some of them have ridden more kilometers every day this week than they have ever done before. So almost none of the riders, although I spoke to today, told me that they usually spend Sunday morning on the local market, but they are going on the back ride instead, which probably explains why they are getting across Europe so quickly. After a week on the bike, you can really start to see the fatigue settling in. Faces are looking more tired, the lines are getting deeper, the heat certainly isn't helping either, because like signs of dehydration are starting to appear. But surprisingly, several riders told me that they are actually enjoying the variety on injuries they are collecting along the way. It keeps things, and I quote, entertaining. So saddle sores, Achilles tendon, knees, every day brings something new. I cannot wait for tomorrow. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Nicole van Battenburg, cap 29, was spotted taking a very hot shower last night, and not on her own. A bottom bracket joined her. Rumor has it the relationship is now much smoother and the bottom bracket is no longer making annoying noise. Ulf Panik, cap 297, was spotted proudly checking in into his 5-star hotel with private entrance and 24-hour security. And if breakfast gets expensive, there is an ATM right next to the bed. Very practical. Tonight there is already 49 riders after CP2, one after CP3. If you feel lonely there, Robin, just wait for your friends. There is 266 riders between CP1 and CP2. And the CP2 closes in 4 days, so plenty of time left. And finally, there was 13 more scratches today, bringing the total number of scratches to 82. Tonight we drove a few hours towards CP3 to jump a bit forward to cover the top 30 of the race tomorrow. And finally, it's Sunday night. For once, you won't have that little knot in your stomach about going back to work tomorrow, because tomorrow morning, you're not commuting to the office, you're riding your bike across Europe. Not everyone gets to call that a Monday, so enjoy it. And in the meantime, good night and good ride, everyone.
Remember, you can read Jake's daily race reports on the road on the Lost Dot website, and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.